Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are broadcasting live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Thursday morning. So the Titans introduced their coordinators yesterday. So offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, defensive coordinator Denard Wilson introduced to the media yesterday with their press conference, and Brian Callahan also with some interesting comments as well. And we talked about that a little earlier in the show. If you missed that, you can go check it out. Wherever you find your podcast, just search Robbie and Rex Road, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com. So, Joe, it feels like really ever since the coaching search began, since the end of the season, we've talked offense, 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 right? Like Brian Callahan's coming in. He's an offensive guy. He's going to be the head coach calling plays, kind of that modern way of doing things in the NFL, having the head coach call plays. And on the defensive side of things, it's kind of been left on the afterburner, I guess, when it comes to there's just so much to do on the offensive side of the ball and so many picks and free agent decisions and all these things to make on that side of the ball. Where you look at the defense and you say, well, Jeffrey Simmons is there and Roger McCreary is there, and you know Azeez Al-Shaair played really well last year. We'll see whether or not he comes back. But you do have a new defensive coordinator. You do have a defense last year, Joe, that I thought, even though they had their moments, overall I think it's fair to say was disappointing. I mean, we were talking about that defense heading into the season as a real strength of the team and a defense that, if everything went well, could be a top 10, top 5 defense. And that's not what they were. So as you look at where the defensive side of the ball is right now with Denard Wilson coming in, how he affects things as the hire as DC, and some decisions they've got coming up on that side of the ball, what do you make of the defense, where things are right now, and how do you forecast how good they may be in 2024 when everything takes shape here?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, remember, going into this season, as here on WHMR, we way overvalued the Titans. I mean, so much of that was this supposedly great defense. And so it was disappointing pretty early, right? I mean, it was disappointing pretty early. You think about, like, the first game, Arden Key was like, oh, my gosh, he's going to get 15 sacks this year. And it was that was pretty encouraging. But, like, the game at Cleveland comes to mind. Right. As just like, what the heck? They just, you know, got, I mean, it was a terrible offensive game, but their defense was like, gave up these big plays. And just as time went on, it was just obviously a hugely disappointing season from every angle. But on that side of the ball, just because the expectations were so much higher. So I think I mentioned the four guys. The only like certainty that I really feel is with four guys, which would be Simmons, obviously, Landry,
yep,
McCreary, and Hooker.
Yep.
You know, and I think, you know, those guys are all, and there's still some questions there. I mean, Hooker with health for sure. I do feel like one thing that was part of the disappointment early and then got better and better and looks good heading into next year, and I think it's worth the cap hit, is Harold Landry. You know, Harold Landry, I mean, his cap number next year's 23.8, so that's significant. But the way he played down the stretch, I mean, I think a career kind of year could be possible. But again, that also goes to, that also goes to like who else is around him and how is he being supported? They have to find more pass rush. They have to get better inside. You know, Dr. Jack Gibbons was fine, but they need to be better there. And obviously they need a difference-making cornerback for sure on this defense. But, I mean, if you were to find decent answers, I think in those three areas, but especially another pass rusher and another really good corner, then you could see this defense being pretty good next year, I think.
You could. Now, those are two things that are hard to find, right? Like the pass rusher and the corner. And – this is where the offensive side of the ball does come into play, because corner is really interesting to me, because Fulton's going to be gone. I think we know that. You feel, I think, good about McCreary. You know, you've got Molden in the mix, and he's been safety, corner, kind of wherever you want to put him. Sean Murphy Bunting, I thought, was okay this past season. He's actually a free agent, so
he's a free agent.
You could bring him back or let him go. We'll see what happens there. But in order to find one of those number one type corners, how do you do that? When you factor in all the different needs the Titans have, right? Like, you've got your offensive tackle that you obviously need to address. I think all of us would agree that wide receiver is still a position of need that they've strongly got to look at this offseason. So how do you go about doing that if you're the Titans? I mean, you look at free agents. I mean, Stephon Gilmore is available at the age of 33. He'll be 34 next year. I don't know if that's overly exciting to anybody. Adoree Jackson is out there. When you start looking at cap hits of guys who are available, he was the top one heading into free agents. I mean, there are some guys that are intriguing out there that you could throw your name in the hat. But the corner is kind of like, for the most part, left tackle in terms of like the elite of the elite. Like the number one corner guys, rarely do they make it to free agency because most of the time they're locked down by their team. So I'm 100% with you. They've got to have help at cornerback. The question is, if you're Rand Carthon of the Titans, how do you adequately go about addressing cornerback when there are other needs that are glaring on the offensive side of the ball that you have to address?
Yeah, I do think, like, cornerback this year, I think it's better potentially in the free agent market. Certainly, as we've talked about, you're just very rarely going to get a great offensive tackle. There's a shortage in general, and there's some good receivers, but we've talked about the top of the receivers. I mean, at corner, like Jalen Johnson, you know, what's going to happen there? Yep. He is a free agent. Legarius Sneed, everybody thinks that, like, the Chiefs are going to, you know, re-sign him. But, I mean, those guys are – that's, you know, those guys are big-time players. Now, Chidobe Awuzie from the Bengals is another guy, and I don't know. There's another – obviously, you got the Bengals connection there. There's a guy who, you know, is an outside corner. That's what they badly need. He did have an ACL tear 2 years ago, but that's a guy who I think could have some promise. Yeah, I mean, Gilmore had a resurgent year for sure, but man, I would struggle with that one. And then you get into, you know, there's still some good players. Like you said, Adoree, Kenny Moore, the Colts, been a pretty good player. I think definitely that's where free agency could help you solve the puzzle. I mean, free agency has to deliver some kind of pretty significant investment. It's one of these positions of need, you know, which of course gives you clarity on the draft. It just seems like corner would be one of those areas. And then also on free agents, I mean, what about Denico Autry? Different D-line coach, different staff, all that, different head coach. He was fantastic here. He's getting up there in age. He's still really good. Does he, like, how much of a lure is it just to, like, maybe just try to come back and stay here in Nashville and play more with Jeffrey Simmons? Because, I mean, to me, if the price was right, I think that could be worthwhile.
Well, what is the price? That's the question with him, because he'll be 34 in July. And as you said, like, when you start to list off free agent signings, certainly under John Robinson, but really, like, the history of the entire franchise, like, Denico Autry, I think, is higher than people would think in terms of free agent signings in the history of the Titans franchise. He was really good and was really productive every bit of the moment he was on the field here. So, I mean, the one drawback is he'll be 34. And that's, I mean, you know, at some point the slowdown, for lack of a better word, is coming. So is it going to be this year? Is it going to be next year? I mean, we had that conversation 2 years ago, and he's been playing at a high level ever since then. So maybe he's just a guy that is going to continue to play well until he calls it quits. But I do wonder what that price looks like because of his age.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I think it's one of the best value signings. I mean, you could argue the best value signing that John Robinson had. And so what's the value now? I mean, it's, you know, the number goes down some, you know, I mean, but and again, it comes down to also not the price is driven by demand. You know, so how much demand is there out there for him? I mean, you've got other guys there as well that you could look at. I mean, how old is Danielle Hunter? I know we've talked about him. He's not super old, right?
He is 29.
Is he still in his 20s? Yep. Okay, yeah. You've got him. I don't know. I mean, how much is like Chase Young getting on the open market?
That's a really interesting one because you can make the argument he's been disappointing, but he also has moments where he looks really, really good.
Yeah. So his pass rush, like all the underlying numbers for Chase Young on pass rush, like win rate is really good, but his run stopping, it's all gone downhill pretty significantly.
Well, availability too.
Through the course of his career, and then you have injuries and stuff too. So, yeah, you know. But, yeah, I mean, that's – yeah. And then you got a lot of the usual suspects out there. Clowney, you got Big Z out there. And
an annual and free these, agent tradition.
Yeah, exactly, and guys like that. But, I mean, I think maybe a little bit of a younger – that might be a more of a value look, you know, I mean, gosh, Brandon Graham, my goodness, that guy has just been in the life. He's been a hell of a player for a long time, you know. Lawson, I remember Carl Lawson was a guy a few years ago that was, and of course, previously with the Bengals, now with the Jets, was a guy that they had looked at. You know, you could get, again, you could get a little bit cheaper with someone. Well, you want to talk about some Vols? How about Daryl Taylor? Derek Barnett, you know, guys like that. I mean, some kind of a signing would seem to make sense. Bud Dupree. How about Bud Dupree? Bring him back. For a much, 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 much lower price.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the Titans defense? How good do you think the Titans defense can be in 2024? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. More coming up next. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow night as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Texas A&M on the road. Pre-game beginning at 7:45, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Daytona 500. Coverage will begin at 12:30 with the race starting at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie?
What's going on?
What's up, Joe?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, good victory yesterday, Joe. Well done, man. Well done.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, Robbie, the Titans' needs on defense is pretty much what you and Joe explained. Defensive end, secondary. They're going to need some linebackers that can play three downs. They're going to need a safety or – they definitely need a shutdown corner. I'm kind of wondering, Joe, would you think that they would take Caleb Farley and maybe try him at safety since it hadn't worked out at a cornerback or anything for him?
You know, he does have he's got certainly the size physicality to be a safety. I mean, I've thrown out receiver for him. I mean, I think the whole thing with him, I don't even know. I don't know that it hasn't worked out at corner as much as it hasn't worked out for him to be able to, you know, be on a football field for more than 5 minutes at a time, right? So, but yeah. maybe with these injuries made him a little less twitchy, taking away some of the speed. But if he can be healthy, he has that physicality, and maybe that would be a decent spot. I mean, to me, for Caleb Farley at this point, staying in the league in any way as a special teams guy, anything is a win, right? It's a big win.
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, before I let y'all go, I got a little rant I'm going to do right quick. This guy Ben that called or text or whatever he called, Joe Condescending. Everybody in Nashville know I don't allow anybody to take shots at Joe. That's my guy. Or you, Robbie. You're my guy also. I don't let people take shots at y'all like that.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're going to speak about something, man, know what you're talking about. It is a talk show. You know, callers do know sports, but Joe and Robbie, that's their job. But Condescending, Joe is not. If Mr. Ivy League, is he arrogant? Yes, he is. But hey, I like arrogant people. And hey, he should have ripped a you know what in Steelman yesterday, because we all know that we all want to take shots at Baloney Head. We have to do that, man. So, you know, hey, I thought Mr. Ivy League let him off the hook a little bit yesterday, but I would have ripped Steelman for what he was saying yesterday. Appreciated him calling in, though, but hey, that's just me. That's what I would have done. So, hey, callers in Nashville, you take a shot at Robbie and Joe, I'm going to call in and call you out about it because I'm not going to let y'all do that. Y'all have a good day, man.
Mark, we love you. Thanks for calling out.
All right, Mark. So I love Stilly and Pauly, but actually, if we could have a show called Mr. Ivy League and the Baloney Head, that would actually be the greatest show in sports talk history.
Mr. Ivy League and Baloney Head. I'm here for it, man. Just beautiful.
Fantastic.
He does bring up a really interesting point beyond like the Caleb Farley part of it, because I mean, Caleb Farley to me, yeah, if he steps foot on the field in a meaningful way for the Titans again, then I think that's gravy at this point. There is another safety position they got to figure out. Now that you've traded Kevin Byard away, and they kind of patched it up last season after they did that, but I think you feel pretty good about Imani Hooker for the most part and what he's been able to do. Although I will say with him, like the injuries, a little bit of a concern with Imani Hooker moving forward too. But you have to find who's going to be that next guy that plays along with him. Can you get a starting level safety to play with him, be it the draft, be that free agency? And that may be one of those things that you end up taking in the fourth round. I have no idea what they're going to do there. But going to have to find, in addition to the corner needs that we talked about, you do need at least one more safety back there too, when you probably need more than one.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I do think, obviously, Molden is interesting. I mean, I think Molden, but the injury thing with him for sure has been a real problem. I mean, I think he could be a starting level safety potentially. But, yeah, you definitely have to get more talent in at that spot. It's just all these things we talk about, they're just not all getting addressed. You have to start, to me, with everything you can do to support Will Levis, which is why that's what we mostly talk about. That's why we decided to talk about defense today, because we never talk about it. But you do have – that's the priority. Protection first, weapons, both those things, everything you can do to help your young quarterback. You know, other pieces of this defense – I mean, Azeez Al-Shaair, I thought he was pretty good last year. I mean, I don't think he's as good as David Long Jr., but I thought he was pretty good.
Would you bring him back?
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there with a $2.5 million cap hit. You know, I mean, that's, I just think you need to get better next to him. And I mean, even like Arden Key, you know, I mean, he's got a $4.2 million cap hit next year. I mean, it's not bad to have him. And look, this is where you also hope, it's just like we talk about Bill Callahan. Is there any kind of bump? You bring in a new coach sometimes and it can mean good things for a particular player, and you hope that like there's a bump with Denard Wilson and the staff for a guy like that, or one of these guys, you know, who surprises you, is a pleasant surprise. I mean, the one thing the Titans, I think, certainly lost, and this is a good point that Mr. Ivy League made this week, it's like we talk about the Denard Wilson relationship with Rand Carthon going back and how that paid off here. But also, the Titans got a big loss in Terrell Williams. That's a big loss.
For sure.
There's a reason Mike Vrabel had him be the head coach for preseason game. Very respected guy. Very good coach. And the Lions have him now. And so that's a tough fall off. I mean, I think Tracy Rocker is an established coach. Been a coach for a long time. He's been a lot of places over the years. But, I mean, Terrell Williams, that's one of those things where if the Titans would have had their druthers, I think absolutely he'd still be their D-line coach.
615-737-1025, our phone number. There's one part about this defense that I actually feel great about if I'm a Titans fan heading into next year. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. We have Preds Pick the Click coming up here in just a few minutes at 8:45. Speaking of the Preds, if you missed our conversation with Andrew Burnett, you can check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, just search Robbie and Rex Road. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars. And pretty good conversation with Andrew Burnett earlier in the program. So we'll take your thoughts on that as well. Joe Rex Road back in with us on the program. Out of breath. What's going on there, Joe?
Sorry. The trying to herd cats and get to Vegas is not easy. Let me tell you.
Do you need to sit down for a second? Catch your breath?
I mean, packing toiletries is really tough work, man. Let me tell you. It's hard. Get that, you know, the Rogaine.
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff you need.
Oh, yeah. Taking your thoughts on the Titans defense. So, Joe, there's one.
Sorry for making a Rogaine comment.
Hey, look, I'm envious. At least you got hair, man.
PK got all huffy about someone made like a bald comment. I'm like, well, people make, you know, comments about my appearance too. It's fine.
Calm down, Mr. Ivy League. So there's one thing I feel pretty good about the Titans about on the defensive side of the ball. So let's check the last five games here of the regular season. So they gave up 27 points against Miami. Now, if you watch that game, I think Will Levis had a pick right around the goal line. I think it got returned for a touchdown. They also fumbled the ball, and then ended up returned to like their own five. So they gave up two touchdowns that were basically directly as a result of offensive turnovers in the game. They played outstanding against Miami in that prolific offense in that game. The next week against Houston, they lost the game. They only gave up 19 points in that game. They lost the following week against Seattle, gave up 20. They got shelled by Houston, gave up 26. And then the last game of the season, they beat Jacksonville 28-20. So was it great defense down the stretch? No. I do think they got better down the stretch. And I look at a reason for that, and I look at the last five games. Harold Landry, 3 sacks against Miami, 1 sack against Seattle, 1 sack against Houston, and it felt like he was all over the quarterback in those games. And that's where, to me, the defense has a chance heading into next year, is Landry, about halfway through the season, it felt like, really started to figure it out. I mean, he had basically after the Jacksonville game where they were on the road, where they got beat like a drum, 34-14, really from that point on, I thought Harold Landry was pretty good for the Titans. So assuming he gets through the offseason without some sort of setback or some sort of injury in camp, if he's healthy heading into next year, I thought the way that he played coming down the stretch, ending up with 10.5 sacks in a season where, you know, he spent half of it not close to full strength. I think it was pretty clear. That makes me feel pretty good about him and what he could bring to the table and what a difference that could be for the Titans defense next year if he's healthy the whole time.
Yeah, no doubt. He was excellent. And I think Harold Landry, sack numbers are not, and of course they count and they matter, but he's just an all-around really good football player, and he has been the whole time here. And I think you could be looking at the potential for a huge year for him. And that's why I know some people have mentioned it, and I think it's worth talking about when you talk about the cap and you talk about what you may need to do. Like the Titans are, I believe, going to cut Andre Dillard. I mean, look, that's only a cap savings of $3 million. It's almost $8 million in dead money, but I think I think that makes sense. I mean, I guess if he comes back, they don't, and Bill Callahan turns him into, you know, a good offensive lineman, then he can apply for wizard status. But I think that he's probably out. If that's the case, there's only three guys with eight-figure cap hits next year right now on this roster. Landry the most, 23.8. Simmons right after him, 21.7. So that right there, those two guys, kind of the cornerstones of your defense, you know, 46 million or 45 million plus against the cap. And then you have Hopkins with his 18 right now, with an 18.3 number. And then everybody else is sub 10. So I think that's obviously a huge investment. So you need a ton, but you need a ton, not just from Simmons, but from Landry, and you need that tandem to be great. And then Hopkins is another interesting thing here that we can talk about another day in terms of, I mean, it is possible, as we talked about with Jimmy Wyatt asking the questions, that maybe he just doesn't want to be here, and would the Titans accommodate?
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I think the value of having him here would be immense, obviously, for Levis.
I agree.
I think we all agree with that. But if he didn't want to be here, what would that situation look like for the Titans, and how many partners would there be out there? I mean, I guess 1 year later could end up with Kansas City and then go catch 80 balls for 1,200 yards and win another Super Bowl. That'd be something.
I'm sure that sounds decent to him.
You know? Sure it does.
I'm sure he looks at them and says, man, they just want it all, and they don't have good receivers. I'm a good receiver. You know, I could see how that would work. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think that Hopkins and then some a really – big time, high in the draft addition to learn under Hopkins next year could be really good for both Will Levis and just for that young receiver to be named too.
Have you seen the Brandon Ayuk stuff of the, I guess, his brother and like his girlfriend on social media have been making like cryptic videos about getting out of town and leaving San Francisco, and I guess his brother had some post on social media about like, how is your 1,300-yard receiver only have 3 catches in the Super Bowl? And Ayuk was asked about his future the other day, and, you know, of course he said the right things, that he wanted to be back in San Francisco if it makes sense and stuff like that. But what do you make of the Brandon Ayuk part of this? A lot of Titans fans allowing themselves to dream the other day.
Yeah, man, it's like just the family members, you know, doing stuff on social media thing or friends. It's just, God, it's got to be so annoying for teams. But, hey, but you know, at the same time, it's got to be annoying for players who, not that I blame the Niners at all for, like, Ayuk having 3 catches. I mean, that's just how games go. But he is an interesting case because they played hardball with Deebo Samuel. They did it with the Titans, should have done. They got Deebo Samuel signed. I still think Ayuk is their number one receiver. He's really good. I still feel like if I was choosing between the two to have for the next 5 years, I think I'd go Deebo personally.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I think it's close. It'll be interesting to, you know, to me, if you're the Niners, you have to be thinking absolute run it back as much as possible. You have to do everything you can to me to keep it together, keep your key guys together, and know that you absolutely can win the NFC again, you know, and losing a guy like him could be a problem. I mean, Ayuk and Deebo, again, make it possible for a guy like Juwan Jennings. Fantastic story. He's a hell of a player, but they give him incredible matchups too, you know? And so, yeah, look, it'd be interesting to see Ayuk outside that system away from all those other really good skill players. You know, what is he? Like this, it's a little bit like T. Higgins. You know, T. Higgins, we know, is very good. We know both of them are very good, but what about if there's more on their plate and less support around them?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, Ayuk is technically under contract with San Francisco next year. They signed him to his 5th-year deal. So you would have to trade for him if that's going to end up being what happens here and they move on after this offseason. So, I mean, I assume he wants a long-term deal at this point, right? I mean, he's coming off a 75-catch, 1,300-yard season. So I would assume, like, if you're San Francisco and you want him back, you're working on that this offseason. I mean, I will say, obviously there's familiarity there between Rand Carthon and Brandon Ayuk. So if he becomes available via trade, I wouldn't hate the Titans throwing their name in the hat on that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's where Rand's last stop. That's the best roster in the league, and Rand's very familiar with it. So that's where something like that. And we talked in the past about, let's see, who have we talked about? Well, first of all, a few of those guys are here now, but Trey Lance, yeah. I think a year ago, weren't we talking a lot about Trey Lance?
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a possible long-term answer for the Titans and the familiarity and all that, so.
Would you be comfortable signing Ayuk to another long-term deal where he's probably getting paid somewhere in the neighborhood of, the going rate right now is $22, $23, $24 million a year. Would you be comfortable giving that to Brandon Ayuk?
Comfortable? No. Would I rule it out? No. I mean, it's one of those gambles that you take in this league. It's a lot of money, but he's very good. I struggle when you have these super teams, and that really is what they are. I mean, their offensive collection of talent is a super team. I mean, it's an all-star team. And so I personally struggle to separate like an individual's performance from that. Like I know McCaffrey's great. And I think Deebo is too. They've used him in so many different ways. And Kittle also, you know. Ayuk is really good, but, God, that's a big number.
It is. Somebody's going to give it to him, though. It's either going to be in San Francisco or it's going to be somewhere else. So I'm interested to see how that plays out this offseason. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And the shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. No change to the standings from last time out. Still callers and Joe Rexra tied atop the standings at 12 correct answers apiece. Nick Kieser with 7, and I am 4 in the competition, which is embarrassing. With that in mind, let's go back to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Ben. Ben, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to take Ryan O'Reilly.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Ben. So Ben going with O'Reilly. Joe, you're up first today, which I know who you're going to pick. So Forsberg's still available to you. O'Reilly off the board. Who you got?
You don't know that. I mean, I feel like, you know, Jankowski, I saw some.
Well, that's the first name he said. Let's write it down.
I didn't say. Hold on. All right, I'll go Philip Forsberg.
Okay. Forsberg off the board. O'Reilly off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I tell you what, not really a crazy guy to keep in mind for goal scoring, but I think he could possibly crack through. Give me Cole Smith against the Dallas Stars.
Cole Smith against the Dallas Stars. Keezer's been going with the off-the-board candidates lately. All right.
I like it.
There's a couple different ways I could go with this, but I will say, and Jim Diamond is going to love this, he's playing on the power play right now. I actually think he's looked pretty darn good the last two games, which is encouraging. Give me Cody Glass. Cody Glass,
yeah.
2 assists last time out. Had a couple of really good looks. He hit the post 2 games ago. I think he breaks through tonight. So I'll go Cody Glass. O'Reilly, Forsberg, Cole Smith, Cody Glass. The selections and Preds Pick to Click. Joe, your thoughts?
I like it. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time obviously talking about Tomasino this week. But Glass and Novak, to me, are young guys who are showing a little more lately. So, and I think Novak, some of that is just right, just health, I think. But they really need some production from him. And I'm with you. I think Cody Glass is there's some signs of life there.
What do you make of this matchup tonight? For some reason, I mean, other than the one where they blew in 13 seconds here right before Christmas, they've had some good success against Dallas so far this year. So most of that has come on the road against Dallas, but we'll see if they can do it again tonight at home. And again, you know, I said it earlier, Joe. To me, this is where the player side of things and the management side of things might be different heading into these next couple of weeks here. But, I mean, if you win this game tonight and then you win Saturday, you're probably going to be in a playoff spot after the weekend. So a couple of huge games coming up in the division for the Preds tonight against Dallas, and then a massive one on Saturday against St. Louis on the road.
Yeah. Well, it's just huge. You're getting to the point where, like, the games just individually get bigger. Winning at home continues. Like, this team has to win at a higher rate at home down the stretch, or it is not going to sniff the playoffs. And I don't know what it is. I mean, when Andrew Brunette was on earlier, he mentioned, I guess, the psychology part of it, just getting up for a huge, you know, a team that was, there's people picking this team to, you know, win the cup this year. And a very talented team, and just the Preds have just played really well in those games. So would be a big deal to get momentum back and take it into that game at St. Louis.
Dallas is my cup pick this year. I'm still feeling okay about it.
See, so your pick, like, you pick players to score, they don't score, but you pick another team to win the cup, and the Preds respond by playing really hard against that team.
Maybe that's what it is. We'll see if they can
do that
again.
A lot of power in this town.
A lot of power in this town when it comes to the local professional hockey team, no question about that. Joe, you're going to be leaving us for the next couple of days, heading off to Vegas. We got Adam Vingan coming in tomorrow. So Vingan will be with us on the program tomorrow. But are you Are you taking the Jason Kelce route out there in Vegas with the luchador mask? What do we think is going to happen out there?
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't been out there since, I think before we were married in the early 2000s. But, I mean, you know, it was like halftime of the Lions game, and I was so excited. I'm like, we're going to Vegas. And I had a few pops in me, so I bought tickets and stuff, and I failed to realize, one, the Lions were, of course, going to blow it, and two, the Super Bowl was last week, not this week. So, I mean, the only thing to do is, I guess, just pour myself into a big bucket of rum and roulette.
So what would you have done had the Lions made the Super Bowl and you realized that you bought tickets for the week after?
In all seriousness, we're going to see you too. So,
I don't like that story as much. Let's go back with the first one. What would you have done had you realized the Lions were in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's the thing. We were talking about it. It's like, as they were close to getting the Super Bowl, I was like, so we're going to be out there like 4 days after they may play. Do we need to like drive out there and just make a pilgrimage and then just stay? Maybe we would have, but we'll never know now.
We won't. Maybe next year. We'll see what happens. Yeah. If they can get that job done. Joe, have yourself a wonderful time.
Thank you, and enjoy without me, and say hi to Baloney Head.
I will do that. Baloney Head scheduled to be on our program tomorrow at 7 a.m., so looking forward to talking with them. That's going to do it with us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.